Who would ever think of putting these two things together? That you're the salt and you're the light. If you didn't know what Yeshua was talking about, that would be hard to understand how salt and light go together. But in this introduction here, we see that the good news according to Matthew in chapters 5, 6, and 7 have what's perhaps the most famous message that Yeshua delivered. It's not called this in Scripture, but it's received this name, I guess, from scholars, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is introduced in a very unusual way with declarations of blessedness. Much as the Psalms in Tanakh, the Old Testament, are introduced in that way. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach batzat rishaim. Blessed, praiseworthy, oh, the blessedness of the man who does not walk in the counsel or the advice of the wicked. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And the psalmist says, this is the first psalm, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. When I was in the army, I was eventually sent out to Arizona, to the desert. I had a chance to see what Moses felt like. So I was out in the desert, and Gracie came to join me. And if we had to go to a group of believers to worship, it was 35 miles away through the desert. And there had been a drought there. Everything was dry, was parched. And the deer came down from the mountain to eat the foliage in the camp where we were, Fort Huachuca. And they looked like jackrabbits. They were so skinny. It's because of the drought. And as we were going to join other believers in worship and prayer, there in the middle of the desert was this expanse of green. What a contrast. This dry, parched desert and this expanse of green. And what it was is there was a like a little river in the middle of the desert, and all of this foliage that was by it was bright and green, while everything around it was parched. And it was such a contrast, and that's what the psalmist said, that if we walk with the Lord in this parched, bleak, spiritual dearth that is the world, that we will be like the green standing out against the dearth. That's the picture there. Blessed is the man, Yeshua said. The Beatitudes. Oh, the blessedness. And the first blessedness is poor in spirit. The blessedness of the person who's poor in spirit. That's really strange, isn't it? The one who created the whole world, who left the glory of heaven itself to come down here to rescue this human race, speaks of those who are poor in spirit, those who count the kingdom of God and following the Lord above everything that you could get in this earth, and who dedicate their lives to it. And many of those first century believers dedicated themselves to the point where they were willing to give their lives to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, in this introduction, it says that the Talmidim, the followers of Yeshua, would be poor in spirit. He's saying they would not be lusting for the wealth of the world. They would not be the ones who felt they were self-sufficient, but they would be willing to take a humble place in life, to be totally dependent on God for their sustenance, walking in humility. These righteous citizens of heaven, purified in heart, are to be merciful to their fellow man, and they, as a result, will be shown the mercy of God and will be known as peacemakers in their environment. They truly are sons of God, but because they live in a sinful world and are living to glorify the Lord, he lets them know that they can expect to be persecuted, insulted, be falsely accused because of identifying with the Messiah. And here's what their response should be. He said, they should rejoice and be very glad, because there's a reason for this, that when you're willing to stand up for the Lord in spite of what you may endure for it, your reward will be great in heaven. He says, the prophets before you were persecuted like this. That the world has an idea of what is to be lauded, and it isn't following God. That's the world system, apart from God. This world is not a friendly place for those who want to give their hearts totally to God. And the believers are going to have to be ready to stand for him irrespective of what we endure. Yeshua punctuates this blessedness with two declarations. Matthew 5:13 says, you disciples are the salt of the earth. And in 5:14 he says, you are the light of the world. Now, Matthew 5:13 carries a warning with it. You are the salt of the earth. It's undoubtedly a metaphor. It's referring both to taste and to preservative. That's what salt was in the first century. He gives this warning. But if the salt loses its saltiness, did you ever hear a person say, I met him or I met her, he left a bitter taste in my mouth? Well, they don't mean that literally, do they? They aren't cannibals. They aren't tasting people. But they're saying, this person, the way he or she acts, really left me disturbed. Yeshua says, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If the one who once professed faith, who showed this glowing acceptance of the Lord and this willingness to sacrifice his life, loses that passion, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. A professing believer can get distracted, lose his way spiritually, and as it were, become spiritually distasteful, of no value to those around him. It happens. That's why John read this morning from Colossians, provided you continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. In these last days, with all the pressures coming to surrender to the world and its standards of living, there are going to be those who look just as Demas did, Paul's fellow servant, who he speaks about in the last chapter of 2 Timothy, his last epistle. Demas, in love with this present world, has forsaken me. In Matthew 13:22, Yeshua, talking about the seed, which is the word of God, falling on different kinds of soil, says, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man," meaning the person, "who hears the word, but the worries of this life," that's the negative part, "and the deceitfulness of wealth," boy, I'm licking my chops, I got so much money, I got such a huge bank account, "the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it," choke this seed, which is the word of God, "making it unfruitful." Over these 24 years of ministering here, we've seen numbers of people fall away who begin enthused and lose their passion for the Lord. Now, Matthew 5:14 carries a responsibility with it. 13 carries a warning about losing your saltiness. And Matthew 5:14 carries a responsibility. You are the light of the world. Now, Matthew is not in chronological order, the Gospel of Matthew. So it's possible that Yeshua made his declaration about himself in light before this. I'm going to read it to you after this. But listen to this responsibility that light carries. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. The believer is to be a city on the hill. Like in the Middle East, there were these white structures, and you could see a city outlined before everything else. These white structures just popped out. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your, not good words, not hear your good words, see your good deeds, and praise your Father in heaven. Now, I'm going to discuss these good deeds after I discuss Yeshua and what he said about himself. He stood before his own Jewish people at Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. This was in Jerusalem. And there were these giant menorot shining, these candelabra lit with oil. They were so huge that the discarded robes of the priests were used as wicks, and they were lighting up a huge part of Jerusalem during that Sukkot ceremony. And Yeshua stood there before them and said, Ani Or HaOlam. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That Adonai sent Mashiach to become our korban, our sacrifice. And Isaiah 53 calls that sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice, the punishment that brought us shalom, peace. We read Psalm 27:1, where Adonai the Lord is called Ori, my light, the Yishai, and my salvation, my deliverance. The Lord is my light. He lightens my inner being. He gives me the Ruach HaKodesh to light up what would otherwise be darkness, my own inner being. And Micha, translated Micah, says this about Adonai. Though I sit in darkness, Adonai is a light to me. Micah 7a. In Micah 7:9, he says, he, Adonai, will bring me out into the light. I will behold his righteousness. See, the Messiah isn't about how good we are. The Messiah is about how good God is. And God so loved this whole world, Jew and Gentile alike, that he sent his Messiah to be his light and his salvation, his deliverance. And when we look to him, he takes a darkness that's in us, has us dedicate our lives to him, gives us the Ruach HaKodesh to dwell within us, and then all of this that was darkness before, apart from God, becomes light. Tanakh, the Old Testament, constantly pictures righteousness and the righteous as light and sin and wickedness as darkness. Here's an example. Proverbs 4:18-19. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. That when we choose to follow the Lord, God will give us the light of his word and of the Ruach HaKodesh to guide us and direct us. And though there may be rough places in life, we will not fall so that it's beyond repair. But for those who reject the Lord, it says the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. There's nothing so depressing and so without direction as deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. When Adonai calls the Messiah to be his servant, to accomplish God's salvation, Adonai names two particular parts of the human race which he has in mind. In Isaiah 49:6, he says this. He, Adonai, says, he's speaking now, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant. He's talking to Mashiach, to the Messiah. To restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. He's talking about bringing back God's people to himself. Just what Joshua was doing, challenging them to leave the idols of this world and the things that distract them from God and come back to the living God. To be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Goyim. Goyim is plural. It means nations, but it's translated also Gentiles. I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation, and that's his name, Messiah, Yeshua, salvation, to the ends of the earth, Jew and Gentile, one in the body of Messiah. When in the first century, Peter at Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, declared to the Jews and proselytes that they had rejected Yeshua the Messiah, those hearing his message asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent, do a turnaround, be immersed, go through the mikvah, go through the baptism in Yeshua's name for the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Holy Spirit." 3,000 came to Yeshua that day and became light, reflecting the love of Yeshua through the proclamation of God's good news and performance of good deeds. And they were the ones who began going out to the Gentile world and taking the message of Messiah, his atoning sacrifice, and the forgiveness of sin. It was the Jews who brought Yeshua and salvation to the Gentiles. And together, God formed a body of one new man made up of Jew and Gentile. When Yeshua declared in Matthew 5:14, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven," what kind of spirit-inspired good deeds did Yeshua, Jesus, refer to? Now, in that Sermon on the Mount, he tells about false prophets and false teachers who say, "Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do all these miracles? What do you say to that?" And he gives a startling reply. He says, "I never knew you." You know, I think the people who really proclaim God's word in the power of the Spirit do not see themselves with all of these wonderful virtues. They aren't bloating themselves up. "Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that?" He's everything. He says, "After you've done all I've told you to do, here's the attitude you should have. We're still unprofitable servants." He said, "Don't go out boasting about the gifts you have and all you've done. Lord, even the demons were subject to..." Don't boast about that. If you want to boast about anything, boast that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Don't think how great you are. There's only one great, the Lord. Amen. When the Jewish leader came and said, "Good Rabbi," Yeshua says, "Only one is good, God." When the Son of Man comes in his glory, this is Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the Lord is the king, not we aren't the king. The Lord is the head. Only Yeshua is called the head. Pastors aren't called the head. There's only one head, the Lord. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Now listen to these things. These are all things that you don't have to have a miracle gift to do. You don't have to perform miracles to do this. Listen to this. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then what happens here? The righteous wonder aloud when they did all of this. In other words, they aren't totally conscious of all the glorifying things they did. They're only conscious of the Lord. They wondered, when did we do all this? Yeshua continued. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. It's about our taking out the light and pointing to the light who is the Lord, the light of the world, that he might receive the glory. And it's about doing the good deeds that he tells us to do for others, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify him and to let others know that it's God through Yeshua who inspires us to reach out like this. But that's our calling as ministers of light, to reach out with that men might see your good deeds, those are works, not to glorify us, and glorify your Father. You know, as you grow older, most of us lose our parents. And if we're believers, we become conscious that we have only one Holy Father, the Lord God. And he remains our Father irrespective of who dies around us. And the scripture says that he will guide us with his counsel, with his advice. And the wonderful part about it is afterward, he takes us to glory. That we can know if we follow him and obey him, that what we have waiting for us at the end is not a hole in the ground. It's an eternal life with him in glory, in a kingdom that will never end, where there is no darkness, only light, where there is no death, where there is no pain, where there is nothing to have us worry about, but only the glory of God. I think if we pass up that opportunity, we've missed the whole meaning of life, haven't we? Yes. Seek ye first. That's primary. That's above everything else. The kingdom of God, the rule of God over our lives, and his righteousness. And all these other things, our needs here will be taken care of by him. Anyone who's had this has something to add?